Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hello, and welcome to the Whale Hunting Podcast, where we shine a light on the hidden worlds of money and power every week. I'm Bradley Hope, and this week I'm joined by Emmanuel Freudenthal, a friend of whale hunting and one of the co-creators of Dictator Watch, and a freelance journalist based in Nairobi. Welcome, Emmanuel.
Hi, it's good to be here.
So, Emmanuel, could you give us a little background on yourself? I mean, I know you're doing a lot of different things, but maybe you're the best person to describe it a little bit.
Okay, I'm a freelance investigative journalist, and I use all kinds of techniques to unearth new information, from data journalism to field reporting. And I'm also the director of Dictator Alert, which is a project that tracks aircraft that are owned by dictatorships all over the world.
Yes, we'll get back to that in a second too, but that's one of my favorite projects you've launched. But how did you end up in Nairobi, and where are you from originally? Like, what was your path to end up as an investigative journalist?
So I don't know where I should start, with early childhood or or just before I became a journalist. I was doing investigations mostly for NGOs, human rights NGOs and some environmental NGOs like Global Witness. And at some point I decided to become a journalist, and that's when I moved to Nairobi about 8 years ago, because I wanted to focus on Africa. So, and I've stayed on pretty much since then.
Okay, so let's talk about Dictator Alert. It's a really fascinating project. Essentially, from the consumer side, you're providing data about the movement of these planes that are associated with either dictatorships or I guess you'd call it absolute monarchies, like in the Gulf. How did that come about, and how did you actually technically construct that? Because it sounds like a really fascinating, you know, experience for you.
So the way it came about is through another journalist called François Pilet, who is based in Geneva, and he was looking at, oligarchs and dictators coming to Geneva for its banks, for, you know, good investment and so on. And basically he found another guy, I forgot his last name, but Mike, who was tracking all of the planes that were coming to Geneva. And the reason he was tracking them was because some of the planes, he lives near the airport, and some of the planes are making a lot of noise when they land, and there's all kinds of regulations around what time and when you can make noise around the airport. And so he wanted to, you know which planes were infringing those rules. And because he's also a retired engineer, he decided to use basically an antenna that grabs information from those planes in order to know which planes are landing, and then match that with the sound that they make, and then you would know, you know, this, Brussels Airlines that landed at 9 p.m. Made much noise and, you know, should get fined. So that's how it came about. And Mike was also very interested in looking at dictators. Yeah, I can tell you a bit more about the data, but it's quite nerdy. It's basically to avoid planes crashing into each other.
Yeah, so, like, it seems like both planes and yachts, they have a kind of signal that allows you to track them. I mean, I know for yachts for sure, when we were doing 1MDB, we were always following Joe Lowe's yacht around the world, and we actually had pretty good data about it. I feel like planes has something similar, but what's the short, like, so what can you do? You can track any kind of plane, but what are the kind of restraints on that, or the things that prevent you from really understanding what's going on?
Yeah, so it's quite similar to boat tracking. So there's regulations on, you know, which type of plane has to emit this kind of data and where. So it's not the same if you're, say, flying a small Cessna in Kenya, or if you're, you know, flying right next to New York with a huge plane, you know. So depending on where you are, you have to send different amounts of data, but it's regulated. So if, for example, you were to fly a plane in the US and not share the data that you're supposed to share, and if you, especially if you come close to New York, pretty quickly you'd end up having a few fighter jets on your tail. So it's very similar to boats, and the way most of this data is shared, so there's one type where it's sent to a satellite, and there's another type where it's sent to, actually the most common type, where it's sent to antennas on the ground, a bit like the ones that Mike had. And then it's centralized basically in some websites, and then you can use that data. And the smaller planes tend to have the land antennas and not so much of the satellite one, the land transponders. And then the bigger planes have the satellite tracking. So it's quite similar to the boat, to the AIS system.
So, if you just wanted to go online and track a plane, are you able to do that? How spotty would it be, or how difficult would it be if you knew, for example, about a particular private jet, for example, what would you be able to do online
Yeah.
just from the tools that are available?
So you would be able to go on different websites and then track different planes. And by that I mean on some websites you might be able to track some planes, but not in some locations, and vice versa. So for example, the big commercial websites like Flightradar24, FlightAware, RadarBox, and so on, they will have a much better coverage. But if you're a private plane owner, or the army, you can ask them to remove you from the database, and like a quite a substantial chunk, maybe half of the planes basically don't show up in the database. And as journalists, obviously the planes I want to hide are the ones that are likely the most interesting ones. So a lot of the private jets are hidden. Then what you could do is go to a few of the other websites like OpenSky or ADS-B Exchange, and then those websites say they don't remove any planes. And so, in theory, you could follow any plane. The downside of those websites is that they don't have as good a coverage. So, for example, in Africa or in Latin America or in northern Russia, there isn't so many antennas, and so you can't track them very easily.
So when you created Dictator Alert, what was the kind of innovation? Are you blending together a few different data sets? Is that how you're able to get this enhanced coverage for the kinds of planes that are more likely to ask to be removed from the databases?
So Dictator Alert uses data from ADS-B Exchange, and a lot of these other bots or other accounts that are doing similar things with this data. Like there's one who is tracking all of the planes that are circling around in the US. So it's like usually it's like FBI or police planes, or sometimes weather and stuff like that. And so what this account, and same thing with Dictator Alert, do is basically take that data from ADS-B Exchange and then analyze it. So with ADS-B Exchange, the way we found the interesting flights is to look through a database of about 200 planes that belong to dictatorships. And then there's one additional step, which is instead of having just a list of GPS coordinates for a flight, we calculate, we kind of make a guess of where the plane took off from and where it landed.
That's fascinating. So when you first created Dictator Alert with your partners, what was the moment when you realized that this was actually something quite interesting that you'd created? I mean, was it a particular flight that you kind of noticed or that you were able to kind of understand something about?
I think so. So before Dictator Alert was the whole world, it was focused on Geneva with François Pilet. And then I worked with Brendan Roberts, who's a programmer, in order to expand it to the whole world. And the Geneva one has, a lot more history and a lot more history of people using that, that data. So, for example, when President Bouteflika was in Switzerland for medical treatment, people from Algeria could see that, okay, he's left the country, and that created like an uproar. So there is a few cases like that where people have used these planes, and apparently also money laundering investigators in Geneva also use that same account to see that Théodorin Obiang, the son of the president of Equatorial Guinea and also the vice president, no, he's not the son of the president and the vice president, but he's himself the vice president and the son of the president. So the investigators could see that, okay, he's coming a lot to Geneva. What is he doing there? So those are a couple of examples of this being useful.
I guess in a sense, what I find fascinating about it is all of these planes are important not only for there's probably some criminal activity going on in somewhere in your database, but there's also just this sort of secret behavior of very powerful people, right? Like, you know, where are the Saudi officials going? And then trying to figure out, it's a database that poses really fascinating questions rather than answers them, right? It sort of says, there is this weird behavior going on and something is afoot, but we don't know exactly what it is. I mean, is that kind of how you see it as well?
Yeah, definitely. That's the upside and the downside at the same time of this data. ADSB Exchange has more than, 60 terabytes of data. So obviously most of this is super boring. It's just like, you know, commercial flights. So to find the interesting flights is really the challenger. And so Dictator Alert helps you to show, you know, these are the flights of dictators. Then, for example, you could see Gabonese government planes going to Maldives, like repeatedly. What are they doing there? Same thing right now, there's ones that went to Lyon. So you can kind of wonder, you know, what is it doing there? But of course, the limitation of this data is you don't know who's in the plane. And for that, you need to, you know, use some other sources to find out. But it at least gives you that first question mark on the and awareness of that journey.
Have you ever considered adding categories that you don't have? Like, for example, oligarchs or, you know, other types of planes that could be up to something interesting?
Yeah, definitely. And also updating the list, because maintaining that list is quite time consuming. And one of the challenges is that basically this project doesn't really pay for itself. So it's hard to find time and people to do this. But ideally, yes, that would be great to have more of that. And, you know, there's been like a few accounts that attracted a lot of news. We're tracking like Elon Musk or other celebrities. But with the dictatorships, I think it's a little bit less glitzy, I guess. So it doesn't attract as much attention.
Is there a favorite experience you had using the database? I mean, or even maybe another way to think about it is like, what has been some of the most impactful parts of this project in terms of helping journalists unearth something, you know, as a result of what you've been able to show them?
So, yeah, it's a good question. With the Dictator Alert itself, you know, the project we have with Project Brazen is kind of unique for that. And it's having a journalist look at all these movements and just ask questions. And I think that's a really good approach of doing that, because then to pin down, you know, like a story on it is quite tricky. But other than that, most of the work that I've done or that others have done with this type of data has usually used the raw data. So, for example, one investigation I've done with Laura Motet from Le Monde was looking at the travels of rich French businessmen during COVID. Nobody was allowed to go more than, I can't remember, like 10 kilometers from the house. And these guys were flying to Ibiza, to the like country house. And so we just downloaded like a whole lot of data and then, you know, looked at all the planes that were traveling in France to, you know, holiday destinations. And then, you know, interviewed people in the airports to find out, you know, who was on the plane and so on. So that's a kind of investigation that you can do with this data as well. But I wish more people would look at the Dictator Alert website and start asking questions. Like if I was a citizen from some of those countries, I would wonder, you know, why are Gabonese officials flying to Maldives? You know, clearly there's not like a very important, I don't think there's very important diplomatic relationship, but I can see a whole lot of other reasons to fly there. So yeah, I'd love it if more people looked at it.
Yeah, I mean, we appreciate that as well. And we've been running, with your help, a little item in our newsletter called Mystery Flights, where we just sort of pose the question about what's going on here with this particular flight. I know last week we had a flight of a Saudi Ministry of Finance plane that went to what looks like the royal wedding in Brunei. The Qataris going to Germany a lot. There was another one with Bahraini government landing at the Royal Air Force base here in Suffolk. So it's kind of fascinating, and I definitely we want people to know more about what you guys are doing, and hopefully there's a way to continue investing in the project and maybe expanding it in the future. What about the story? Wasn't there a story about the son of the president of Equatorial Guinea? Can you go through that one more time, just about how you were able to track him, and then he ended up at a hotel, that whole story?
So Teodoro Mbeumo is one of our best customers for this project. And I've made my most successful tweets thanks to him. And I should also, go back on what I said earlier that it's not very glitzy. He's actually, like very, very glitzy. So his Instagram feed is full of parties, flashy cars, and, a little bit of work. And so in one of the posts, he has this hotel in the Maldives, or at least a hotel in a tropical destination. And, it looked like he was on his own in this island. And basically, by tracking his boat in this case, I could narrow it down to the Maldives and then look for other islands with the same shape, and found that he was staying in a $75,000 a night hotel in the Maldives. And although Equatorial Guinea is one of the per capita richest in Africa, that money is not really spread evenly. And so, by and large, it's corruption money. So that was his citizens' money that he was spending there.
Yeah, that's crazy. Let's say that you're an ultra powerful person and you fly around in a private jet. What are the ways that you can combat transparency into your movements? So I think there was a case with Elon Musk you mentioned before. I think he offered to pay the guy to stop tracking him. I mean, what are the different tools they can use to cover their tracks, so to speak?
Yeah, so that Elon Musk move was n not the smartest one, I have to say, because the tracking, basically the tool to track him, we could have done it like in 5 minutes. Basically, it's just a matter of putting his plane's identifier in our website and then creating a Twitter account, and it would be tracked. We didn't do that, I think, because we couldn't see like a very strong public interest in it. But paying off that one guy would have just led to a whole lot of other people basically blackmailing him for that. But there's a few tips for the if there's any dictator, oligarch, or just privacy conscious businessman who is listening to this podcast. There's a few tips to hide yourself. First of all, you can lease planes, which means that today you're flying it, tomorrow someone else is flying it. So effectively, it becomes impossible to know who's in the plane. And there's people who will buy a plane and then have a company lease it so that they mostly fly with it, but then once in a while it's someone else. And then also the name of the company shows up. There's obviously, in terms of ownership, all of the kind of financial secrecy options with shell companies and so on. You can have that. But people will eventually find out that you own the plane. So leasing is a good option. Another kind of initiative is one that the FAA is pushing for, which is basically to randomize these identifiers. So instead of the identifier being the same for every time you take the plane, it would be different every time. So you wouldn't know, on day one it's, ABC, on day two, DEF. So you can't know which plane you're tracking, and it's still able to not crash into other plane. But so far this hasn't really worked, and it's actually backfired. I think there's a few accounts that follow specifically those planes that have these privacy conscious identifiers. So it's actually making them even more visible. Yeah, those are the two main ways, really. Although maybe there's some better ones that I haven't thought about, and it's so successful that we don't even know about them.
Yeah, exactly. But I guess in a sense, it's one of those things where very powerful people, rich people, dictatorships, the unfortunate truth is that they can't really hide what they're doing. There's all these ways in which you can find things. Like you said, if you just have an antenna on a roof, you're tracking them in a way that is even different than these websites that are collecting the data necessarily, right? So I think it's just if you're doing big things, you're going to be tracked in some way or another, which I think is a good thing for the rest of us, you know? Yeah, it makes you wonder too, things like drug cartels, like how are they using private jets? I don't know. Do you have any idea at all about how that might work?
I think drug cartels, they wouldn't show up on the ADS-B data, because if you have a plane that shows up, you're more easily trackable and identifiable. The kind of risk to that is if you're, for example, flying in the US and your plane is not identifiable where it should be, the army will have what they call primary radar, and it's the ones that you see in the movies with things that turns and the green screen that turns with these little blips. So if they see a plane, like a blip that they can't identify, they don't know which plane it is, that's going to raise suspicions really quickly. But if you're in countries that don't have solid, like a good primary radar system, or you're flying really low so that they can detect it, That's probably the best way to hide. And I think those cartels, that's probably what they do, because they do these runways in the middle of the forest and so on.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. Yeah, I think, well, if I was a drug cartel, I would either do that or I would make myself look like a huge logistics company and I'd be doing a lot of other business as well. And then, like, I would hide in my plane, like a couple of crates of cocaine or whatever, you know? Another tip for anybody out there
Are you
who's
sending your
interested.
application? Is it a job application or
Yeah. So, listen, we've been studying this. We can help, you know? That might be a good way to fund dictator alerts in the future, but maybe not.
If you see it growing very quickly, you'll know why.
Yeah, it's growing very quickly, but certain categories of planes are disappearing from the database. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Alas, that's not how it works in journalism. People don't offer us these contracts, thankfully. And Emmanuel, do you want to just tell us about anything else you're working on right now, or what's on the horizon? Any plans you have for Dictator Alert?
So, Dictator Alert, the next plans would be to spend a bit more time updating the database of plane, continuing this kind of outreach process that we had, like with Project Brazen. If there's any other newsrooms or groups that are interested in tracking specific planes, we'd be more than happy to offer that. If there's any journalists also who are interested in any stories that use plane data, feel free to contact me. And, I'd be happy to help. So that's for Dictator Alert. And for me, I have like a bunch of investigations ongoing, but I'll keep it under wraps for now.
Okay, sounds good. Well, that's it for this week. Thank you to Emmanuel for joining us. You can follow updates from Dictator Alert on Twitter at GVA underscore watcher or visit dictatoralert.org for more information. The best way to stay up to date with whale hunting is to hit follow wherever you listen to podcasts, and you can also subscribe to the Whale Hunting newsletter for updates on the shadowy lives of the powerful and ultra-wealthy at whalehunting.projectbrazen.com. We also have this bi-weekly project called Mystery Flights, where we work with Dictator Alerts to track planes. Thank you for listening, and we'll be back next week for more.
Whale Hunting is a production of Project Brazen. It's hosted by me, Tom Wright, and Bradley Hope. It's produced by Megan Dean and Claire Urban. At Project Brazen, Mariangel Gonzalez is our project manager. Ryan Ho is the creative director, with additional design from Andrea Claridge. For more from Whale Hunting and to subscribe to our newsletter, visit whalehunting.projectbrazen.com.